Okay, today we're going to learn Daf Yud Amr Aleph of Masechah Sukkah. We're already into Daf Yud Amr Aleph, somewhat into Daf Yud Amr Aleph. We are at about 7-8 lines down the page. Kama Yehei, first one of the line is Kamash Malan, we're at the second word. Kama Yehei Ben Sukkah L'Sukkah V'tei Tachtona Psula. How much airspace does there have to be in the top sukkah in order to disqualify the bottom sukkah as a sukkah tachas sukkah? Meaning, as we learned in the Mishnah, if you have a sukkah al gabe sukkah, when you have one sukkah on top of another one, the bottom sukkah is pasul, because apparently there's a psul of being under another sukkah. So what does it mean to be under another sukkah? Does it have to be under another sukkah that's defined as a kosher sukkah that one would be allowed to use, or is even something else considered enough of a sukkah that it would passel the one underneath it? Meaning, perhaps even if the top one weren't kosher to use, still the bottom one would be passel. So how tall does the top sukkah have to be in order for the bottom sukkah to be a problem of sukkah tachas hasukkah? We're going to have three shitos. First shitos, Amar Rav Huna, tefach. Even if the top sukkah is only one tefach high, which obviously is well below the 10 tefachim necessary in order to be yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah, even if it's just one tefach high, that's enough to passel the sukkah underneath it. Why? Where do we ever see that a tefach means something? Shekein matzinu ba'al etum a tefach, because we find that the definition of ohel when it comes to tuma is a tefach, meaning if you want to create an ohel over a mace in order to stop the tumah from going up to the sky, and the tumah would stop at the ceiling only needs to be one tefach above the level of the mace. You need an airspace of one tefach, because the definition of an ohel is a tefach. Ditnan, because we have a Mishnah, Maseches Ahilos, just like this, the Mishnah says, tefach al tefach brom tefach, mevias hatumah v'chotzeitz bifnei hatumah. That if you have a cube that is a tefach, meaning it's a tefach cubed, it's a tefach by a tefach in length and width, and a tefach high, so that's enough of a window between two rooms to be, that's enough of an ohel over a body to spread the tumah to everything else that's under that same ohel, and it's also enough to stop the tumah from going through the roof up to the sky. Meaning that's the function of an ohel. When you have an ohel over a body, so let's say you're in a room and there's a dead body in the room, so the ohel has the ability to spread the tumah from the dead body to everything else that's in that room. But what the ohel also does is it prevents the tumah from going through the roof. So if someone jumps over that room, over the roof, or takes a plane over that roof, they would not become tame. So how do we define what's called an ohel for those purposes? It's one tefach. Aval pachos miram tefach lo mevi velo chotzeitz. But if the ohel is less than one tefach high, it's not going to be able to be mevi as hatumah. It's not going to spread the tumah to the other things in the room, and it's also not going to be chotzitz b'fnei hatumah. The tumah will be boka'as va'ola ad l'rakia. It will protrude right through, not protrude, it will pierce right through the ceiling and go all the way up to the sky. So that is opinion number one. That is Rav Huna. Rav Chista v'rabba bar Rav Huna amri arba'a. Rav Chista, Rabba bar Rav Huna say that no, in order for the top sukkah to be enough of a sukkah to passel the sukkah underneath it, it needs to be four tefachim high. Shalamatzinu makom chashuv pachos me'arba'a, because four tefachim is always the definition of a makom chashuv. Ushmuel amar, third shita, asara. Shmuel is a very logical shita, that it needs to be ten tefachim high in order to passel the sukkah underneath it, because only if it's ten tefachim high can it itself be used as a sukkah. So my time with the Shmuel, what's the sara for Shmuel? Like we just said, kehech shera, kach psula. Whatever it takes to make a kosher sukkah is what it takes to passel the sukkah underneath it. Mahech shera ba'asara, just like in order to be a kosher sukkah, it needs to be ten tefachim high. Af psula ba'asara, so too, it can only passel the sukkah underneath it if it itself is ten tefachim high. Tanan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im ein diurin be'elyona hatachtonuk shera. Rabbi Yehuda says that if there's no one living in the top sukkah, then the bottom one is going to be kosher. That was the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. Well, my ein diurin, what does it mean there's no dwelling in the top sukkah? Ilem diurin mamish, if you mean to say that there's no people living there, atu diurin kagarmi, why would it matter whether there are people living there or not? Meaning, what we're discussing over here is the structure of a sukkah. What's considered a kashra structure? What's considered a kashra cheftza shel sukkah? What a cheftza shel sukkah is should have nothing to do with who is currently populating that sukkah. So it should make no difference whether there are people living there or not. Elav, my ein diurin. So rather, what do you have to say? What does ein diurin mean? Mean kol she'ena ru'uya ledira, if it's not even inhabitable, meaning if the top sukkah is something that people couldn't possibly live in, then it's not really called a sukkah, and mele, the bottom sukkah, is going to be kosher. Vehechidami, what does it mean it's not inhabitable? Delo gava asara, that it's less than 10 tefachim tall. Mechlal de Tanakama savar, ooh, that implies that the Tanakama of our Mishnah, who thinks that the bottom sukkah is going to be possible even if there are no diurin in the top sukkah, must be that the Tanakama holds afal pi she'in ru'uya ledira psula, that even though it's not roi ledira, it's going to be possible, and therefore that's going to be a kasha on Shmuel, because Shmuel held that the bottom sukkah is only possible if the top sukkah is 10 tefachim tall. But apparently Shmuel only conforms to Rabbi Yehuda's shita, but the Tanakama shita, which you would imagine would be the shita that we would paskin like, Shmuel does not fit with. So this seems to be a kasha on Shmuel. So says the Gemara, no, what you have to say is the difference is, if people could get into the top sukkah, but it would be challenging to get into the top sukkah. That's the machlokas Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanakama says, if people can get in, even though it's not comfortable, even though it would be somewhat challenging to sit in the top sukkah, it's enough of a sukkah to apostle the one underneath it. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda would say, no, im ein diurin, if it's not a comfortable place to live for the people in the top sukkah, so mele, it's not called a sukkah, and the bottom sukkah is going to be kosher. So, two main points over here. Main point number one is we had three shitos, how tall the top sukkah has to be in order for the sukkah underneath it to be possible. We had Rav Huna who said a tefach, Rav Chista and Rabbi Bar Rav Huna who said four tefachim, and Shmuel who said ten tefachim. Main point number two, when Rabbi Yehuda says that if there's no diurin in the top sukkah, the bottom one is kosher, he means that people cannot easily live in the top sukkah. That people cannot easily live in the top sukkah. Right, that was the third possibility of what he meant, but that's the one we settled on. Right, the first two possibilities were that there aren't physically people there. Second possibility was it's impossible for people to be there. But the third possibility that we stuck with was that it's not easily possible to have people living there. Good, new Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Pires aleha sadin mipnei achama, o tachteh mipnei hanesher. If, let's say, a person spreads a cloth on top of a sukkah to block out the sun, or underneath the schach to protect from falling leaves and things like that, O shapiris al gabe hakinof, or a person spreads a cloth over a bed canopy, a kinof, Rashi says, is hindalid kundesin ludalid ragle amita. They would have four poles on the four edges of the bed, vigovin ugvoin, and they're high up, maniach klunsos mizel uzel gabehen uparasal ensadin, and they have poles that connect them, and you would put a canopy over the bed. So if you have a cloth spread over your sukkah, or a cloth spread under your schach, or you have a canopy over your bed, psula, aval poris val gabe naklite hamita, but you're allowed to spread a cloth over the naklite hamita. What are naklite hamita? So if there are only two poles, one on each end of the bed, and it makes like a triangle when you put a cloth over it, as opposed to a square, which would be a proper ohel, if it only makes a triangle when you put a cloth over it, because it goes straight down the sides, so then it's going to be kosher, because that's not a real ohel, that's blocking the ohel of the sukkah. Amrav Chista, lo shonu al mibnei hanesher, aval na'osuk sheri, you're not allowed to spread a cloth if it's there to protect, to save from things that are falling in. But if you're putting the cloth there as a decoration, that's going to be that's going to be kosher. Says Mar Pshita, Mepnei Anesher Tan. Of course it's kosher. That's what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said that if you put it there to protect from things falling in, it's going to be problematic. Now, Ma'u Detema, Hu Adin Dafilu Na'osa, I might have thought from the Mishnah that even if you're putting it there for decorative purposes, it's also going to be possible. V'haydu Ketani Mepnei Anesher, Urcha Demilsa Ketani. And the only reason it gives the example of Mepnei Anesher is because that's a common case. Kamash Milan. Therefore, it has to tell me that no, that it's only a problem if it's Mipnei HaNesher. But if it's for the sake of decoration, then it's going to be Mutter. Lema Misayele. Maybe we could bring a riot to this. Sicha Kilchsa V'itra B'kraminu B'sadinina Metziyarin. If a person put up a proper schach, and then he starts decorating the sukkah with all sorts of nice cloths, with tapestries, V'talaba Egozin, Shkedin, Aparsikin, V'rimonim. It was very common that they would use fruits to decorate a sukkah, not like plastic fruits, but real fruits. Parchilei anavim, v'atara shel shibolin, and they'd use the Zayin Minim that Eretz Yisrael is praised with. So they'd have grapes and grains, yenos and wine, shmonim and oils, thlassos and flour. Asher l'stapik man, you're not allowed to benefit from those fruits. Ad motzoi yom tov ha'achron shel chag, until after the last day of Sukkot. V'im hisna aleihem hakol lefi tana'o, and if you make a tanai that you should be allowed to use them, so then you could follow that tanai. So you see from here that even though one of these decorations mentioned is sadinin, it's a cloth, since it's only for decorative purposes, it's perfectly kosher. You can have a flat cloth hanging over your sukkah or under your schach, and that's perfectly fine. Says Gemara, Dilma min hatzad itmar. That's not necessarily a raya, because maybe the cloth that we're talking about is a cloth of wall hanging, as opposed to hanging under the schach or over the schach. Maybe that taka would still be problematic. So the last main point of this amud, we would say, is that any cloth over your sukkah that forms an ohel, or over or under your schach, that forms an ohel, if it's for decorative purposes, it's kosher. But if it's for practical purposes, to catch things or to block out the sun or something like that, it is pasul. It's actually a very interesting shaila that they have in many sukkos in South Florida. And in South Florida, you have a lot of homes that come with a screened-in porch where the ceiling is a screen. It's right to keep out bugs. So a lot of times people just want to be able to roll out schach on top of that screen and use it as a sukkah. So is that kosher? Can you have a screen? How would you define a screen? It's certainly not decorative. It's not to block out the sun. It's not to block out the falling leaves, but it is to keep bugs out of the sukkah, but not to catch the bugs. So that's a fascinating halachic topic and an interesting discussion, but not for now. For now, we will just leave it at here, and we will, Be'ezras Hashem, pick up on the third line next time.